whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusted in thee. Trust in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Amen. May God of the blessing those hearers and doers of his word. May grass wither, the flower fade, but the word of God stands forever. Amen. 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 I want to use for a thought here this morning. It's a question. It's a question. Where is your mind? Amen. You know how you talk to somebody and they just off the wall and you say, where your mind at? Where is your mind? Amen. Because today we understand that the mind, as the commercial says, is a terrible thing to waste. Your mind is a powerful part of you, because in the mind is where a lot of your battles take place. A lot of times when we battle something in our body, it's not until something sets in our mind that makes us fear that we might lose the battle. Amen. You can feel sick in your body, but it's not until the doctor tells you what it is that you begin to wonder and fear. Come on and say amen. Because before that, you think that I'll be over it in a few days. Y'all still with me here? And so the mind is powerful, and that is the battlefield and the battleground in which you must fight and thwart off the enemy. The Bible tells us that we are to fortify the loins of our mind, that we are to build up a fortress around our mind with the word of God. Said the loins of our mind. We need to make sure that where our thoughts are produced, where the seat of our thought process is protected with the word of God. Because when the enemy can get to your thoughts, he can get to the rest of you. Amen. Because we only do what our mind tell us to do. Amen. And so the mind is important. The mind, the thing about the mind, we often call it the brain. And we say that we only use about 10% of it. And imagine if we used a little more. Well, and some things, you know, we understand that the mind, if we would fill the mind with great things and good things, that the mind would give us an opportunity to be free from the burdens and the stresses of the day. So that's why some people, they like to use music throughout the day to help them with their what? You know, because music, the word muse is the, and you put ick on the end of the word, that means to control thought. Muse is to control thought. Music, right? And so we put music on so we can control our thoughts so our mind will be right. That's why when they play football, the football players put on something that's going to get them going. Right? That's why when you're going through trouble, you put on your gospel music. I ain't talking about Kirk Franklin. I'm talking about gospel music. You know, that makes you feel spiritual so that you will have a connection with God, because it helps you to clear your mind. Y'all still with me here? And so when we start to look at the mind, we need to find out where our mind is. Where is your mind? Is your mind all over the place? You know, sometimes, you know, the songwriters back in the day, they would say, you know, my body's here with you, but my mind's on the... I think y'all know what I'm talking about. So sometimes we can be present in a place and our mind can be absent from the place and on something else. Come on and say amen. So I'm asking you this morning at church, are you here presently but your mind somewhere else? Because we need our mind to be engaged in order for us to worship God. Paul said that I worship God with my mind. We have to make sure that our minds are set and in place and ready to worship. All of our faculties line up when our minds lined up. And the problem is, a lot of times, that we allow the enemy to get in our head. And you know, you remember that, remember the commercials, remember the thought of how you have the angel on one side and the devil on the other, one telling you one thing, the other one telling you something else. In other words, we got to look at what Isaiah was saying. He said that God is building a place for us that he will protect from the enemy. Ain't that something? And I don't want to ask the question, where's this city? And sometimes we got to be able to do like Isaiah. We got to be able to see this in our mind. And when we see it in our mind, we can be present in that city in our mind because we can be protected right there. I wish I had somebody. They often tell you that when you use your imagination, that's why when we used to watch TV on PBS, they used to talk about using your imagination when we was young, and it helped the child to develop thoughts and to be able to develop plans and to be able to fulfill what goals they may have. And so my goal is to live in this city so I can use my mind to put myself there now, and I can achieve the peace, come on and say amen, that I need right now, the protection that I need right now, if I put myself spiritually in that city by using my mind to engage in the spirit. Y'all still with me? That's too much for me. Strong city. He said, a place to dwell. Where are you dwelling? They often say that the state of poverty is not a state, it's a state of mind. Isn't that something? The state of poverty is not a state that you can move to, but it's a state of mind that you live in. And so when we start to think about where we live, where are you living? Are you living in the blessings of God? Are you living in the grace of our Lord? Or are you living in condemnation? Are you living in doubt? Are you living in fear? And most of this is because of our mindset. Where is your mindset? Where is your mindset at? What do you think about when things go wrong? Do you think the worst? Do you think about God? Or do you think about who you get even with? Who to blame it on? Who to be mad with? Who to point the finger at? And, I often hear people say, I can't do anything because of somebody else. Well, cut them off. And when you forget about them, see, can you get along and go? We ought to be able to just forget about it. Forgetting those things which are and reaching toward what is before. If we can forget about who we thought it was that was holding us back and then step forward and say, Lord, my mind is on you. Wherever you lead, I'm a follower. Maybe this ain't helping somebody, but there's two people in here that's getting something. So he says that we live, we have a strong city, and this is going to be a little different, so y'all got to be with me here, all right? It's not going to be what you think. He says, salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Salvation, look at this. He's talking about the protection of the city. And in the city, he says, salvation shall God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Look at this now. This blessed me. I don't know if it blessed you. But the word salvation, when we look at that word, what do we think about? We think about liberty. We think about healing, wholeness. Well, what do we think about? Freedom. All right. So salvation in that text is not just those words, but salvation is the same name that we have for the Hebrew name of Jesus. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. What the scripture is telling us is that on every side, Jesus will be our protection. I wish I had somebody. He'll be our protection. He's on the right, he's on the left, and front, and back, under me, over me, and he's living. God says that I will appoint Jesus as your protector. I'll appoint him to be your liberator. I'll appoint him to be your healer, your doctor. I wish I had somebody. I'll appoint him to be the one that will be all around you when the enemy comes in like a flood. It's the Spirit of God that lifts up a standard. I'll make sure that you're protected on all sides, that you won't be weak to anything that the enemy bring your way. Here's the thing, that if he made the city strong and he appointed Jesus as a protector, where am I? I'm in him. That's where I am. I'm inside of him. I'm in him. It is in him I live, move, and have my being. Come on and say amen here. If I understand in my mind that I'm in him, I ain't got to worry about what the enemy's going to try to do to me. If I understand that I'm in him, whoever wants to attack can attack because I'm going to be all right. I wish I had somebody here. I'm in the rock. Come God have mercy here. He says that the Lord our God will appoint, he will set up walls and bulwarks, meaning that he'll set up walls fortifying us, and this is what the walls do. When we're on the inside, the people outside can't see us. Ooh, they've been looking for you, but they don't know where you are. They've been trying to locate where you are in your mindset, but they can't see you. They've been trying to push them bugs that used to work, and they don't work no more. I wish I had some. They thought that when I said this about you that you would go crazy and act a fool, but now it don't work, and they're trying to locate where are you. What worked for him now since he don't answer to that name no more, what I used to call. I wish I had a few people in here. Where are you? Where your mind at? My mind ain't on what you think it's on. It's on being in him. And since I'm in him, he's protecting me. There's a lot of wolves out there, but he's protecting me. There's a lot of bears out there, but he's protecting me. Come on. In other words, this gives us a point in mind of how the shepherds used to take their sheep, and they would take them and put them in the cave at night so that they won't get out and have a wolf or some ravenous beast take them and eat them up. And so he's saying that the shepherd of our soul has a place inside of him that is designated for us. All right, the Bible says that Moses asked God, he said, God, let me see your face. God said, no, Moses, I can't let you see my face, and no man has seen my face and lived. He said, but I tell you what, he said, there's a place beside me that's in the cleft of a rock. He said, and when I pass by you, I'll put my hand over your face, and then you can see behind. I wish I had somebody. And the Bible tells us, and we understand that rock was Christ. In order for you to see God, you got to be in Christ. Come on and say amen. If you ain't in Christ, you can't see God. And that's what I understand now about why people do some of the stuff they do, because they can't see God. Why don't people forgive? Because they can't see God. Why are people always bitter, always hating, always trying to tear other folks down, always got it in for somebody else? Because you ain't in Christ and you can't see God. When you're in him, you can see. I look from a different perspective because I'm in him. I'm seated in heavenly places, and so I don't panic like others do. Because I can see farther than they can see. Because I trust somebody who knows what's going. I wish I had. You ever been somewhere, in somewhere, and you know, when we were young, we hide, play hide and seek, and nobody don't want to peek out because they're afraid that somebody's going to see. You ain't got to peek this time. You just stay in him, and you'll have the protection. Come on and say amen. Not looking for what's coming. I'm looking for who's coming. We're always looking for what's coming. What's next? Looking for him. And then if he don't come right now, if he tarry, then I'm going to keep doing what I must, keep my mind on him. Come on. He says, open ye the gates that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter. He says, now there's a place prepared. Listen to this. There's a city, a place prepared for us, but it's not for everybody. I know you thought everybody. See, that's how we do us. Everybody can't come. Only the righteous, only those who keep the what? Truth. He said those that cleave to, those that hold to, those that grab hold of the truth and don't let go of it. He said buy the truth and what? Sell it not. I wish I had somebody here. He said whatever we got to do, we got to get the what? The truth. Why? Because it is the truth that makes us free. I know we always say set, right? But setting free, there's a difference in setting and making. Because 400 years ago, slaves were set free. But they were still made to work for nothing. Okay, setting free is like taking a bird in the cage, opening the cage, and say, birdie, you're free. The bird don't know to fly out, but the cage is open. But when you make the bird free is when you take him out of the cage and you throw him up and he flies away. And so what we need with the truth is so that the truth will make us free. And so how does the truth make us free in our mind? It makes us free from the opinions of others, because I know what God said about me. I I know that I'm the righteous. I know you said some stuff that you don't. I know you don't like me. I know that you hate my guts. I know all the. So who do he think he is? You know, with that army green thing on. I know you don't like me, but I don't care, cause I'm free. Cause I know the truth that I'm the apple of his eye. I know that I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I know. Oh, come on and say amen. You try to talk about how arrogant I am. I'm not arrogant, but I do know this, that the greater one lives in me. The greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I wish I had some. So the truth makes me what? Free. And so if you want to be free, just get the truth. Now, there are people who don't want you to tell the truth because they'd rather live in the lie. Because the lie helps them to cope with whatever it is they got to deal with in the internal issues. But I'd rather you tell me the truth. If it's ugly, just say it. But guess what? If I like it, I don't care what you say. Huh? So just say the truth. The truth makes us what? Free. See, then you're free from the next lie you gotta tell. Because if you tell one, y'all don't hear what I'm saying here. So you're free. The truth makes you free. Free in your mind when you know what God said about you. When you understand what God wants from you. When you know the truth. When the word of God is sown in truth, then you are not moved by what goes on around you. Because I'm fortified in truth. I won't be moved. And a lot of times we're moved by any little thing people say. We're moved by every little thing that happens. And especially, don't let one thing happen, and then a couple of days later, another thing happen, or even later on that day, another thing happen, and then all of a sudden, our mind goes all kaput. We just, if I ain't had bad, if it wasn't bad luck, I wouldn't have none. Look like I got a dark cloud. No. Where's your mind? Where's your mind? Everybody go through trials. Everybody go through tribulation. And it may just be your season. But the Bible said this is just a life affliction. I wish I had somebody. That this thing that we go through is only temporarily. Come on. And so our trials are temporarily. But when we go through our trials, we need to understand that these trials come not to destroy us. Come on. But it's for the proving of our faith so that we may grow in God. Tribulation builds our character. God wants you to be solid. And if God wants you to be solid, he has to sometimes get the fake stuff off you. Uh-huh. He wants you to be solid, so sometimes he got to make sure what's real and what's fake on you that you start to see it yourself. You wasn't real with that until he shows you. Then you say, I'm going to be real with you, God. Come on and say amen now. All right, so he says that the righteous which keepeth the truth may enter. That's the only people who can get in this place is those who love. You thought you experienced it, but I got you something that you haven't experienced yet. Come on and say hallelujah. And so he provides peace. But look, not only that, but look at the prerequisite for peace. He says he'll keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Come on, because he trusted in thee. Now, that is the prerequisite for peace, is that we got to understand where our mind is. If our mind is not on him, if our mind is not set, if our mind is not focused in on him, guess what? We can't have the peace that he promised. Come on and say amen. Because when God told us he'll give us peace, when we understand that he'll give us peace like a river, when we understand that he'll give us the peace that passes all understanding, what do you mean by that? That means that nobody will understand how all hell has broken loose in your life and you still going to church, you still standing up, you still go to work, you still go to the store, you ain't hiding from nobody, you still get up in the morning and you still pray, you still sing your praises, you still able show all 32 if you got them. Come on and say, man, you still able to look people in the eye and say, it's all right. Come on and shout hallelujah. And so when I look at that, I have peace that passes all understanding. You may not understand how I got here, but if you get your mind set, you might understand with me. Come on and say, man, you don't understand what it's like to be lied on and talked about and still go to the liars and the talk abouters and shake their hand and say, good try, but it didn't work, preach. You don't know what it's like to be broke, busted, and disgusted. Your money, come on, is strange. Your money is funny, and your change is strange, but you turn around and you get up every morning, even though they garnish your check, and you still go to work and say, one of these old days, I'm going to have my whole check to myself. Preach up in here. You don't know what it's like. Come on. They don't understand how you can say, I ain't got no ride, I gotta walk. Come on. Come on and say amen. But one of these old days, it won't be like that. Oh yeah, when all this stuff passed by, you see, you gotta tell yourself, today is like this, but tomorrow could be my day. See, we gotta have an expectancy. Look at this. Now when we say that he keeps your mind perfect peace, and if he keep your mind stayed on him, in the Amplified, I'm gonna kind of paraphrase the Amplified. He said he keeps you in constant peace whose mind is steadfast and committed and focused in both character and inclination, who trusts with hope and confidence. And what is he saying? He said, if I just trust God with hope and confidence, that if I just tell myself that today, yeah, it sounds bad and it looks bad, but tomorrow could be my day, I would tiptoe expectancy, believe that God can do anything but fail, lie, and die. Oh, come on and say amen here. I believe that in my mind that he can do anything but fail. Come on and give God some praise. And so he can do exceedingly and abundantly and above all I can ask or think, according to the power that works in us. When I think about all of that, I realize that God can do it tomorrow if he gives me tomorrow. And so while it is today, I praise him today for what he can do on tomorrow, because I'm praising him in peace. You can tell when a person has peace that even though I got all hell that is broke loose in my life, I still know how to praise him. Because
we know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welsh Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana.